Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. Before we begin the shiur, let's draw your attention to the arrow that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You will notice that it indicates Chof Zayin Amud Beis. If you go back to Chof Zayin Amud Beis, you'll notice the bottom line of the Gemara there. There was mention made of a mace shenisraf v'shilda kayemes, tomei. That is a corpse that has been burnt, but its form remains intact, so it is capable of communicating tuma. The Gemara here wants to know, on a practical level, how do you have such a situation? So you will notice on the outside margin, we have noted the nosei, and hemshech means a continuation of the previous discussion, mivneh meaning structural note. Here we feature a double underline with little dots in it to highlight tshuvos. These are answers l'sheila, to a question. Heichi dami meis shenisraf v'shildo kayemes. How do you have a situation of a corpse that is, on the one hand, it is burnt, and yet its form remains intact? So now the Gemara. Heichi dami meis shenisraf v'shildo kayemes. How do you have such a situation where the corpse is burnt, shildo, yet its form is kayemes, remains intact? Omar Abaye, kagon shesorfoi al gabi katavlo. An example would be where it was burnt while it was on a piece of hardened leather. Hardened leather, which actually is fire retardant. And therefore the body burns, and yet the leather remains intact, keeping the maintaining the form of the body as it is. Rava Omar, kegoin shesorfoi al gabi afudrim. The Rashi explains, afudra even shayish. Burnt the body on a piece of marble. Now both of them, Abaye and Rava, v'travayu gagon sha'asuyas beis kibol u'mechitzos shein ha'ofor yochol lihispazer. It's the hardened leather, or the marble has a depression in it in which the body sits. And therefore, even though it's burnt and turns to ash, it doesn't. The ash doesn't scatter. Ravina Omar. Ravina is a third approach, but is very different. Kigon to ichruchi achruchi. The body spoken about here is singed, but it's not. Doesn't turn into ash. Tono Rabbanon, a source. Hamapeles Yad Chatucha V'Regel Chatucha, a woman who discharges a formed hand or formed foot. Imoy Tmei Oleda, this is an indication that she gave birth to a child, and this hand or foot is simply a sign that she experienced birth. The Ein Choshesh Shemo Miguf Otum Bo'u, and we don't entertain the possibility that it came from an unformed body, which would not have resulted in her becoming Tamea Leda, but rather we say she is Tamea Leda. The subject of the Gemara here, under our no say heading in the outside margin, is this case of Mapelas Yad Chatucha, which we call Tsuras Yad, not to be confused with a term, just simply a cut off hand, but it's a hand that, true, it's just a hand, but it's formed, and that's what chatucha means. It has the form of a hand with fingers and other hand details. Tamea leida, the woman is tamea leida. Haim noistim lo yamei tohar. Will we impose, will we grant her the Yemei Tohar, which are the days following the Tumah period, during which any blood she sees would be declared Tohar. So Rav Chisda, the Gemara continues, Rav Chisda v'Rabba bar Rav Huna, the Amri Chavai, they both say, Ein noisnim lo Yemei Tohar, we do not grant her the Tohar days, even though it's clear that she has given birth. Well, why would that be? If she gave birth, so she deserves to receive the Yemei Tohar as well. My Taimo, why is it that we don't grant her the Yemei Tohar? Answer, Eimo herchiko leidosa. We suspect that the woman actually gave birth a long time ago, since the majority of the child came out. And this is just like a residue of the child that was already born. So we simply don't know from when to count the time that's associated with the Yemei Tohar. In other words, if let us say the majority of the Vlad came out a month ago, so the week or 2 weeks of Tumah that she would have experienced have passed, and she's already well into her Yemei Tohar right now. Or maybe she just gave birth a couple days ago and she's in the middle of her Yemei Tumah. We simply don't know when to calculate the necessary calculations. Mosiv Rav Yosef. We raise an objection from the following source, Hamapelis, the Ein Yodua Ma'apila, a woman who experienced a miscarriage, but she doesn't know what she miscarried. So, Teshev L'Zocho L'Nekeva. We say that she must observe the days associated with a male and female birth. The E Salka Daitoch, Kol Kahai Gavno Eima Hirchiko Leidosa, if under such circumstances where we don't know about what she gave birth to, when we have doubts about the birth, so and you say that we don't give her Yemei to Tahara, then Lisni Ulinida. It should say in this source that she observes the days associated with a Zohar and a Nekeva and Nida. What would that accomplish for us? That would show us that any blood that she sees, she'll have to suspect that maybe the birth she had was actually a long time ago, and she has to observe Yemei Nida. The Rashi explains, Nisni Ulanida, Shekol Domim Shetira Yu Tameim, that any blood she sees should be declared Tamei Shelo Yu La Yemei Tohar. And not to give her Yemei Tohar v'hochi b'yamei misli. It should have said thusly, Teishev l'zorcha l'nekeva ulanida, klomar, shvuayim d'nekeva, the 2 weeks of tuma following a female birth, mitama b'loy shumriya, she would be tamea even if there's no blood that she sees, the Dilma Nekeva Havoi, maybe what she experienced was a female birth, v'yemei Tohar lo yela, and we will not give her the tahara days. Sharei kama yomim shishilo leled v'yotza horoy, because it may be that for quite a long time ago she actually gave birth, and the majority came out v'hainu ulanida, and that's what would have been accomplished by saying ulanida. So the fact that this source doesn't say that, it just says Teishev L'Zorchul Nekeva, one could get the impression that she does get Yemei Tohar. Omar Abaye says as follows, she does not get Yemei Tohar. So why then did it not say Ulanida? E Tona Lanida, had the source used that expression as well, Havamino, I would have thought Mevia Korban V'eino Ne'echal, that this woman who experienced the miscarriage, but she doesn't know what she miscarried, well, I would have thought that she brings a sacrifice which is characteristic of childbirth, but it will not be eaten because we have a suffix whether or not she gave birth. Komash Malon Dinechal, by leaving out Lenida, we are telling you that she had a birth and she brings a korban and it will be eaten as is the case with a korban that a woman who gave birth. And therefore, by leaving out the word Lenida, we're able to classify the woman as a Vadai Yoledes. However, we are also saying that she will not get Yemei Tohar because of the Svara of Hirchika Leidasa, that she may have given birth actually a long time ago. Omar Rav Huna. This piece of Gemara is featured with a topic heading, the Nosei, where we've written Hotsi Ubar Yodo Vechzira, a fetus extended its arm and then withdrew it. Omar Rav Huna, Hotsi Ubar Es Yodo Vechzira, an Ubar, the fetus, extended its hand outside of the woman and then withdrew it. Imo Tamea Lega, the mother is considered Tamea Leida, and she has to observe the Tuma days. Shenemar Vayhi Belidita Vayitain Yad. From this pasuk, you see her being described as giving birth, and all it says is that a hand mentions a hand in the pasuk. So we see that Leidas Yad is considered a Leida. Mosiv Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda raises an objection. Hoitzi Ubar Es Yadai. The Ein Einimo Choseshes L'chol Dovar. It says in this source that if a Ubor extended its hand, the mother doesn't concern herself with anything. Omar Rav Nachman. So, and the source would indicate she's not Choseshes for anything. It would indicate she's not Temeah. Omar Rav Nachman L'din Froshla Mineid Rav Huna L'chush Choseshes. Rav Huna explained that she does have to concern herself with the possibility of her being Tamea. Yemei Tohar lo yavina la ad denofik rubei. But the Yemei Tohar that she would get after a real childbirth, she does not, this case, she does not get it until the majority of the fetus comes out. The Gemara asks, "V'ha ein imoy choyseshes l'chol davar ka'amar?" But the source says that she doesn't concern herself with anything. So how can you say that lochush she is choyseshes? It says no. Amar Abaye, "Eino choyseshes l'chol davar" means midoraisa, that on from a Torah standpoint, the extension of the hand doesn't result in any tumah. But on a rabbinic level, she is to concern herself with that being a leida, and hence she'd have to observe Yemei Tumah. Question, but Rav Huna cited a pasuk, which would have indicated that the hand is a birth on a Torah level. The Gemara answers, no. Midrabanan ukro asmachta v'alma. The hand extension resulting in Tumah, Tumas Leida, is only rabbinic, and the pasuk is simply used as a means of remembering that point, something the Rabbanan relied upon when they stated their halacha, but it's not an actual source. The new Mishnah is introduced by a topic heading with a structural note. You notice in this Mishnah the presence of some diamonds and triangles with colored in tips. The diamonds are explained on the margin, teshev. Hamapeles, the word teshev is featured in the diamond. Hamapeles tumtum alandroginus v'od. A woman is described in this mission as having had a miscarriage of a tumtum or androgynous. Tumtum is a child whose gender is unclear, and androgynous is a child who has a double gender, has the signs of both genders, male and female. And we'll see in this Mishnah cases where she miscarries those kind of offspring, and along with it, a male or female, a type of twin birth. Teshev Yemei Leida. Kamo Teshev Yemei Leida. We'll be interested in knowing how many days of Tumas Leida must she observe, that is, the mother. The in the continuation of Mishnah, the word Yotza will be highlighted with a triangle. Ma nechshav leida, what is considered a birth? b'mechutach o misrus, in a case where pieces come out, the child comes out cut up, or backwards, meaning feet first, and beleida regila, what is considered a birth when it comes out head first. Let's now look at the Mishnah. Hamapelas tumtum v'androgynous, a woman who miscarries one of these types of unclear gender children, teshev lazochor ulenekeva, she will get the yemei tohar of a zochor, which means up till day 40 from the birth, there will be yemei tohar. That means any blood she sees will be tohar. Ulenekeva means that the preceding yemei tuma will be that of a nekeva, 14 days. So in this case, if she's mapelas a tumtum or androgynous, she'll observe 14 days of tuma, which follow the birth, immediately follow the birth, and then after that, from day 15 till day 40, she will be granted yemei tohar. Another scenario, tumtum v'zohar, androgynous v'zohar, if she gives birth to a tumtum and a male child, a twin birth, or an androgynous and a male birth, teshev lazocher ulenekeva, the same ruling will apply. When we're going to take into consideration that the tumtum and androgynous represent a nekeva. Of course, it's a doubt. So, as we said before, both stringencies are applied. The 14 days of tuma associated with a nekeva and up till day 40 will be called the yemei tohar. Another scenario, tumtum unekeva, androgynous unekeva, the same ruling, teshev lenekeva, we should say, let's correct ourselves, teshev lenekeva bilvad. In this case, she will observe a birth period like that of a nekeva. That means 14 days of tuma, that would be a stringency anyway, but as far as the yemei tohar are concerned, she will get up till day 80. That will mean 66 days of tahara, meaning from day after day 14, from day 15 till day 80. When you count inclusively, you get to 66 days. And that is because the yemei tohar that would have been given for the zohar are included anyway in that statistic of 66 days. Yotza mechutoch o mesuros. If a child emerges cut up or feet first, mesuros is literally backwards, but in normal birth, head comes out first, but mesuros would mean backwards. Mishiyotza ruboi harei hu kiyol. At the point that the majority comes out, that is considered the birth. And that has legal bearing for the topics we've been discussing. From what point does she become tamea and other related matters? Yotso kedarkoi, with a regard to a child emerging in its normal form or fashion, ad shietze roiv roishoi, until the majority of its head comes out. Ve'ezu roiv roishoi, what is meant by the majority of the head? Mishietze padachta, from the point that the forehead emerges. That's considered the majority of the head. The Gemara asks, Hashto tumtum luchudei v'androgynous luchudei omar teishev lazochu l'nekeva. The Mishnah tells me that the first example of the Mishnah with a tumtum birth or an androgynous birth alone, we impose the chumras of zochar and nekeva. Tumtum v'zochar androgynous v'zochar mibaya, is there any need to go on to tell me about the case of a tumtum with a zohar or androgynous with a zohar? In other words, tumtum by itself, we take into consideration zohar and nekeva. Therefore, where a zohar comes out together with it, why would that make any difference? The Gemara answers, Itzterich. I have to be taught the case of tumtum with zohar, in addition to having taught the rule of tumtum itself. I need it because I could have thought something else. And so the Gemara goes on to answer. The next few lines constitute an answer, as you can see with our long answer marking the tufets encircled the teretz with a descending vertical dashed line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So the Gemara says, Itzdrich, I need to be taught the Tumtum Zohar case in addition to the simple Tumtum case. Mahu Detema. Without that being taught, I would have thought, Hoyovim Rabbi Yitzchok, Isha Mazras Tchilo Yeledes Zohar, Ish Mazria Tchilo Yeledes Nekeva. If a woman is Mazras first, Mazras, sticking to a somewhat literal translation, would mean releases her seed first, she will bear a male child. If the man is Mazria, if he releases his seed first, so Yoledes Nekeva, then the child that's born will be female. Amal, so I would have figured Midahai Zohar, from the fact that in the second section of the Mishnah there is a Zohar born along with the Tumtum, Hai Nami Zohar, that the Tumtum and Androgynous are also male. In other words, once I see, I have hard evidence that a male is born, so I would associate that with the fact that the Isha was Mazras Tchilo, and her babies are male. Komash Malon, the Mishnah informs us, Emo Shneim Izriu Bevas Achas, that the parents may have both been Mazriah simultaneously, and as a result of that, Zu Zohar, Vizu Nekeva, the two children that are born represent two different genders. In other words, you have the Zohar, which is clear, and the Tumter Androgynous really is a Nekeva. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a new topic. On the outside margin, we've written the Nosei, Tumtum Vanandroginus Shiro Loiven Oidem. As everyone is probably familiar, women have discharges that make them Tameos, and they are blood discharges, red discharges. Men have discharges as well that make them Tame, things like a Zov or Keri discharge, which is a white colored discharge. White colored discharge makes a man Tome, and a red color would make a female Tome. In general, we're talking in general terms. So, Omar, what happens if a Tumtum and Androgynous have these types of discharge? Omar of Nachman, Omar Rav. Tumtum and Androgynous, Shero'u Loiven Oy Oidem. Tumtum Androgynous, as we've said in the past, we are not sure of what their gender is. So if they saw either a white discharge or a red discharge, Ein Chayoven Albias Mikdash, in the event that they were to enter the Beis HaMikdash, which in general, when a normal person who is Tomei enters the Beis HaMikdash, he becomes obligated to bring a sacrifice for Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav. Rav is telling us that since there is doubt, so Ein Chayavim, they are not obligated to bring a sacrifice in the event that they entered the Beis HaMikdash, because we have a doubt. And when you have a doubt in the realm of Korbanos, true on the one side, maybe they need to bring, but on the other side of the doubt, maybe they don't need to bring, and in bringing a sacrifice when it's unnecessary is called chulin ba'azora, and that is prohibited. It's prohibited to bring that which is mundane, that which is unnecessary, into the azora. Another point, the ein sorfen aleim es ha-truma. In general, truma that becomes tomei, you are expected to burn it. Truma that's not tomei, you are not allowed to burn. What about truma over which you have doubt? So in the case of the Tumta Androgynous that had either a red or a white discharge, I don't know if that shows us that they're Tomei. Therefore, we won't burn the Truma that they contacted. Another case, Ro'u Loiven V'oidem. We emphasize the Vav because here you have a Tumtum or Androgynous actually having an emission of both colors, both liquids, a white and a red. So Ro'u Loiven V'oidem Ke'echod Ein Chayovim Al Bias Mikdash. which means even though they are definitely tumei, but they will not bring a sacrifice, and that needs clarification that we'll deal with later in the Gemara. Avol sorfen alein is a truma, but truma that they happen to contact will be burnt, because as we said, there is definite tumah here. Either way, either the red, they are seeing both color emissions, so the tumtan drugus are either male or female, and both colors are coming forth, so we know that the individual is tumay. Now, regarding tumas mikdash, the pasuk says, Shinemar mizochar viad nekeva tishalechu. This has to do with sending out of the Beis HaMikdash someone who is tomei. Now, in the pasuk, the genders are mentioned, male, female. Zohar, we're at the top of Amid Beis. Zohar vadai nekeva vadois. The pasuk focuses on someone who is a definite Zohar or a definite Nekeva when they experience Tumah, so they are sent out, and in the event that they go into the Beis HaMikdash, they will be obligated to bring a sacrifice. Veloi tumtum vandragonis, to the exclusion of these types of doubts, a tumtum or an androgynous, which represent a suffake, they're not a Zohar vade, nor are they a Nekeva vadois. The Gemara asks, Lemo Mesayale, can we bring a support from a Tanaic source to that which we just taught? In other words, Rav taught a din, and we gave a basis for that din, the Ptur Korban for the Zohar, for the Tumtum Venandroginus. Maybe we can support that teaching from the following source. This is a long question. You can see the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which is a she'ela, a question. Once again, can we support from this Tanaic source that teaching of Rav? We will then, after that question, there is a rejection of this suggestion, and we call it, we have a dalid indicating a dechia. It could also be termed an answer, namely, we will not say that this supports Rav, and as you can see, Ula appears after the question finishes with the beginning of the rejection, and we have a long marking to show us how long this rejection section takes place, and that is highlighted by the Dalid and descending vertical dashed line that follows. So now the Gemara, second line from the top, Lemo Mesele, can we say the following supports Rav? Tumtum vandragonis, shiro loivin oyoidem, ein chayovin albias mikdash, vi ein sorfin alein esatruma. Just like we saw in Rav's words, exact the same words. Ro loivin voidem, if they saw both colors, keachas, together, ein chayovin albias mikdash, avol sorfin alein esatruma. My taimo, why is it that even when they have both types of discharge, are they exempt from bringing the sacrifice? Lav mishum, is it not because shenemar, the pasuk says mizochar nekeva tishalechu, from which we learn zochar vadai nekeva vadoyis. Only if the person who violated the tumah through entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, only if there is zochar vadai, definite zochar nekeva vadoyis, a definite female, velo tumtum vandragonis. So, is this not all actually a support to that which Rav said at the end of Omer Aleph? Omar Ula, lo. No, this is not to be understood as a support to Rav. Ha'moni, Rabbi Eliezer hi. The source that we just finished learning is authored by Rabbi Eliezer, Disnan, and he is featured in the following Tanaic source. In the following Tanaic source, there will be a Machlokas Tanoim. Rabbi Eliezer is featured together with Rabbi Akiva. In the outside margin, we've noted under our Nosei Mivne heading, a diamond appears, highlighting the words Sheretz or Tuma. We'll see Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. Eze Helem Mechayev Betumas Mikdash. What type of knowledge and subsequent forgetting, helem means something hidden or forgotten from a person. In order to forget something, you would have had to know about it initially. Klomar, in other words, we want to know what would need to be forgotten to engender a chiyuv of tumas mikdash. Klomar shiyeda shiyoda shinitma. He knew that he had become tomei. Ukshinichnas lamikdash ne'elam. And then when he entered the Beis HaMikdash, he forgot. In other words, our question now is going to focus on what did he know that he subsequently forgot. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Hasheretz v'ne'elam mimenu. These psukim are dealing with the topic of entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, which, as we said, is forbidden. So, from these psukim, Rabbi Lezer says, al helem sheretz hu chayav, v'eino chayav al helem mikdash. If a person became tomei through contact with the sheretz and then forgot that point and then entered the Beis HaMikdash, that will, and then when he eventually he leaves and remembers that he was tomei, he'll have to bring a sacrifice. He will not bring a sacrifice, for example, if he knows that he's tomei, but he forgot that this was the Beis HaMikdash, that he wasn't aware that it was the Beis HaMikdash when he entered. That lack of awareness will not generate the need for a sacrifice. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, v'ne'ela mimenu v'hu tomei. What is Rabbi Kiva? How does he darshan this? Al helem tuma hu chayav. If one forgets that he is himself tomei and then enters the Beis HaMikdash having forgotten that he was tomei, that will generate the need for a sacrifice. The eino chayav al helem mikdash. But there is no chiyuv. Just like Rabbi Lezer said, if a person was unaware that it was the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, if he was aware that he was tomei, but unaware that it was the Beis HaMikdash, that will not generate the need for a sacrifice. V'amrinon mai binai. What is the difference between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Lezer says if he forgets that he was tomei through contact with the sheretz. Rabbi Kiva says if he forgets that he had become tomei. Is it not so that one who had contact with the sheretz is tomei? What is the difference between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva? V'omar chizkiyah, sheretz unaveilo iko binayu. The case of someone who had contact with either a sheretz or an avela, both elements, both items were in front of him. He touched one of them, and he doesn't know which one he touched. And then when he enters the Beis HaMikdash, he forgot that experience. And when he left, he remembered that he had touched one of them, but he doesn't remember which one he touched. Will someone like that need to bring a sacrifice? The Rebbe Lezer Sovar, Bo'inon ad shiyeda I b'sheretz itmi I b'nevela itmi. As far as Rebbe Lezer is concerned, he requires specific knowledge in order for us to speak about the need for bringing a sacrifice. So that knowing merely that he was tomei, but not what caused the tumah, and then forgot that information, he will not need to bring a sacrifice. Rabbi Kiva Sovar lo bo'inon. Rabbi Kiva holds that one will need to bring a sacrifice, even if he did not know what exactly was the cause of the tumah. It would be sufficient for him to have known that he was tomei. Now, using this information, we're carrying it back over to our case of the tumtum and androgynous that saw both kinds of discharge. Lav Omer Rabbi Lezer Hosam. Is it not so that Rabbi Lezer said over there, Bo'inon diyeda I b'sheretz itmi I b'nevela itmi, that in order for there to be a chiyuv korban for tumas mikdash, you have to have specific knowledge. What was your tumah because of the sheretz or because of the nevela? Hachanami, so too with our tumtum and androgynous case. Bo'inon diyeda I b'loiven itmi I b'oidem itmi. He would have to know what caused his tumah, and that would mean he'd have to know what his gender is. White is associated with the male, the red associated with the female. Therefore, the tumtum androgynous are people that don't know their gender, so that even though he had both discharges, he doesn't know which one, he doesn't have that specific knowledge which one caused his tumah. Avol Rabbi Akiva, the Omar Mishum Tuma Mechayev, but according to Rabbi Akiva, that says that it's sufficient for the person to know that he was Tomei, even though he lacks the specific knowledge. Hachanami Mishum Tuma Mechayev, so too, with regard to Tumdan Dragonus that saw Oidim and Loiven, he would be or it would be chayef to bring a korban under those circumstances. In other words, a tumtum avdrogus, according to Rabbi Kiva, that had both color discharges, then entered the Beis HaMikdash at a point that he forgot that he had those discharges, and then left the Beis HaMikdash and remembered that he had those discharges, he will be chayef to bring a korban. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. So as we look over this section of Gemara, we saw Rav teaching a halacha of the tumtan adrogenist that had a double discharge, and Rav said he will not be obligated to bring a sacrifice. We thought that it might be based on, it might be supported by a Tanaic source that we saw at the top of the page, followed by the explanation of Mizochar ad nekeva teshalechu. The Gemara said, no, that is not going to be the source. That source is not going to be a support for Rav. Rather, that source is based on Shitas Rebbe Eliezer, that requires specific knowledge, as is learned from the Posik Hasheretz Venela Mimenu, and not from Mizochar Ad Nekeva Tishalechu, which is what Rav was trying to teach. So that at the end of the day, the source at the upper part of the page is authored by Rebbe Eliezer, and not, and its basis is the Posik in Vayikra Perek Hei Posik Beis Hasheretz Venela Mimenu, and not that which Rav taught of Zochar Nekeva Tishalechu. The Gemara continues, focusing on the on Rav that we learned at the bottom of Omer Aleph. For Rav, Maishno Bias Mikdosh Deloi. What is different about Bias Mikdosh, where we say there is no chiyuv to bring a sacrifice? Dichtiv Mizochar Vadekeva Teshalechu. Zohar vadai nekeva vadois velo tumtum vandrogis. The Pasuk made mention of Zohar and nekeva, to the which are clear genders, to the exclusion of tumtum and androgynous. Ihachi truma nami loi nisrof. Therefore, with regard to truma also, where we saw at the bottom of Amud Aleph, we have a little a marking to the immediate. You see, there's a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you parallel that arrow to the lower part of Omid Aleph, where there is also an arrow to meet it right-hand side of the Gemara text, where the Gemara said, Aval sorfen aleinu es truma. There is truma. Truma will be burnt in the case of the Tumtun Adrogenus that had the double emission sighting. Why is it? Why is it that the truma will be burned? Why are we treating the truma differently than the way we treated bias mikdash and the need for a sacrifice? And as the Gemara goes on to say, ihachi truma nami lo nisrof. Let us also not burn the truma. Dichtiv v'hazov es zoyvoi la zochar ulenekeva. Zohar vadai nekeva vadoyis. Why don't we take this pasuk vazov ezovlo? And once again, you see the genders are mentioned in this pasuk. Zohar vadai nekeva vadoyis for lo tumtum vandrogynous. So that one, the emission will not result in tuma unless the emission is associated with someone of definite gender. So just to review the point, whereas by bias mikdash we saw there was leniency. Because in the Pasuk dealing with Bias Mikdash, genders were mentioned, specific genders were mentioned. So too, with regard to the burning of Truma, specific genders are mentioned. Namely, Tuma is not achieved unless you have specific gender knowledge. The Gemara answers, Hahu, the Pasuk just cited, Havazov Ezovo, is needed for something else. Hahu mi boyale lechid Reb Yitzchok. It's needed for Rabbi Yitzchok's teaching. The Yomer Rabbi Yitzchok la zohar lerabois es hametzora lemaya noisav. The word la zohar comes to teach me that a metzora, which is another form of tuma, that his mayonois, his literally his well springs. That's a reference to different liquids that come forth from a person, and if that person is a mitzora, his liquid emissions will be a source, will be tome. V'lane keva, the rabbi says hamitzoras l'mayosel, and the word keva includes the female mitzoras also regarding her different liquid emissions. That those liquids are themselves tome. Those liquids can metame a person. So that the pasuk in Vayikra tesvav hazov ezovo, and where it says la zocher lekeva, is used for including the mitzora and mitzoraas, and it's not there to teach the idea of clear gender. The Gemara asks, "Hi Nami," the pasuk from Bamidbar Hay, which was the source that was used for Rav's din. Do I not need it? Do I not need it for the following? And just to remind ourselves, Bamidbar Hay was a pasuk dealing with the sending out from the Beis Hamikdash people that were tome. So, do I not need it for the following? B'mi sheyesh lo tahara b'mikveh. Prat l'kli cheres divrei Rabbi Yosi, that what needs to be sent out of the Beis Hamikdash when they become tome, something that has the potential of achieving tara when immersed in a mikveh, to the exclusion of earthenware when they become tome, there is no mikveh solution for them. So the pasuk is needed for that, and is not here to teach us about knowledge of specific gender. Moore says, not so. Im Cain, if the pasuk in Bamidbar Hay was only to exclude cheres, nichtoiv rachmona odom, the pasuk should have said, instead of saying mizochar ad nekeva teshalechu, it should have said odom teshalechu. V'chiteimo ikosav rachmona odom, you might say, well, it couldn't have used odom to accomplish that purpose, because hava amino, I would have thought kli matchislo, that I would have thought that you wouldn't need to send out a metal vessel that became tomei. Well, that's not true though. Mikol tomei lenefesh nafka. From mikol tomei lenefesh, we learn out that kli matchis needs to be taken out of the Beis Hamikdash. So zohar unekeva lomali. What do I need zohar and nekeva for? Lichidarav. I need it for Rav's teaching. V'eimo kule lichidarav hudasa. Maybe zohar nekeva is only for Rav's teaching. In other words, specific gender is necessary in order to. Knowledge of specific gender is necessary in order to mechayev a korban for tumas mikdash, to the exclusion of tumtum and androgynous. So maybe that's the whole purpose of the pasuk, and not for Rabbi Yossi's teaching, and not for the exclusion of kli cheres. The Gemara says, im kain, if it were not here for Rabbi Yossi's teaching, nichtoiv zohar unikeva, mai mizohar viad nikeva. The expression could have said Zohar Nekeva Teshalechu. Why does the pasuk phrase itself the way it does? Mizohar v'ad Nekeva. This comes to tell me ad kol dovar sheyesh lo tara b'mikveh. Anything that has tara b'mikveh must be sent out of the Beis Hamikdash, to the exclusion of kli cheres. I hachi ki itmi b'shar tumos lo lishalchu. If that be the case, let's say a tumtum became tome through other kinds of tuma, like tumas meis or tumas sheretz, maybe they would not need to be sent out of the Beis Hamikdash. If we glance at the Rashi, I hachi, Rashi says li'el koi. This is going back on the on Rav. Kevav yama Rav li'inyan shiluach. Since Rav said regarding the sending out of the Beis Hamikdash, zohar varai velo tumtum, b'shar tumos nami kigon tumtum shenitmo b'meis o b'sheretz v'nichos mikshash yiftar. Would you then say that regarding other tumas, there's a blanket exemption for tumtum that became tummy through any kind of tuma. Would you say that? So that we will not say. Amakra mi zahar, mi tuma haporeshes min azahar. Only on those kinds of tumas that are characteristic of gender-based tumas. Only on those things will Rav say that a tumtum will not be chayev. However, if a tumtum, let us say, became tumay through tumas meis or through tumas sheretz and entered the Beis HaMikdash, forgetting momentarily that he was tumay and then left, Rav will concede that a tumtum will have to bring a sacrifice. The Gemara asks, V'chol hecho dichtiv mizochar ad nikeva, v'mute tumtum v'andreinus hudasa. Is that so? Is it so that where you see genders, what gender is specified in the pasuk, it comes to exclude the tumtum androgynous because of our doubt concerning their gender? You find in the parsha of the Torah dealing with one who dedicates his erech, his Torah value, and the word hazachar appears. Vitanya, it says hazachar veloy tumtum v'androgynous. The word hazachar, but not tumtum and androgynous. Yocholei berech ish avliyei berech isha. Is it so that a tumtum who offers his Torah value dedication, he dedicates his Torah value, which is something based on age, that he won't be included in the payment scheme associated with males, but Aval Yehei Be'erech Isha, that he will be associated with the payment scheme associated with women? Talmud Lomar Hazachar V'im Nekeva. And in this pasuk, you have a hey and the word V'im that we have emphasized. Zohar vadai nekevo vadoyis velo tumtum vandroginus. And when it comes to the realm of Torah value dedications, a tumtum or androgynous that dedicates their erech, they will not have to pay. They will not be obligated to pay. Now, why not? Taimo dechtiv hazohar v'im nekevo. It's because of these extras in the pasuk. You have the hey and the word v'im. Ha mizochor nekeva lo mimayit, but from the fact that simple gender was mentioned, that would not have been sufficient to exclude the tumtum and androgynous. So what about a case like where it says mizochor ad nekeva? You don't have a hey and v'im, so it could. Why not say then that tumtum and androgynous that had a double sighting, a white and red sighting, that they would be obligated to bring a sacrifice? The Gemara answers, Hahu miboyale, in the case of Erechin, I have the words Zohar and Ekeva are needed miboyale lichalek bein Erech Ish leErech Isha. I need to make a distinction. So the genders are mentioned to make a distinction between the Torah rate for males as opposed to the Torah rate for females. Rashi at the top explains, we're at the very top of Chof Tes Amud Aleph, Rashi says, L'chalek hilkoch ilav hey v'im. If I didn't have the hey and the word v'im, lo mimayit tumtum, I wouldn't have been able to exclude tumtum. In other words, the presence of the genders in the pasuk are simply to say that there is a separate rate for women and a separate rate for men, but not to the exclusion of a tumtum. Therefore, I need to have the hey and the word v'im, aval hocha. But in the case of tumas mikdash, midahavi le lemichtav odom tishalechu, if you want to simply say that people must leave if they become tomei, and that would have been able with that, so we would have excluded, as we said before, the Kli Cheres. And yet it doesn't say Odom Tishalechu Uksiv Zohar Unekeva. It specifies the genders. Shma Mino Lidrosha. It is here for the Drosha that we featured before, that only a Zohar Vadoyis or Nekeva Vadoyis will be Chayef to bring a Korban. in the case of Tumas Mikdash and not the Tumtum and Androgynous. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.